Maybe this will sit there. Amen. That's a shofar I got from Israel. But boy, God is on the move, isn't he? You felt his presence in here earlier. I hope you still feel it. Man, I think we're on the right track to what he's wanting to do. Do not be alarmed at what you see for the next 2 or 3 weeks. There's going to be some amazing things happening. So just remember that I said that. And have your food and water ready and stuff. Stock up for 10 or 12 days if you need to, in case there's some shutdown happening out there. I have heard through a couple different sources over the past weeks and even this week that the truckers are even nervous. There's something buzzing in the air about stuff going on, you know. And you know, there's a lot of National Guard troops being called out in various functions and things. So be ready and trust in the Lord and do not fear. We are not called to fear. We're called to hope and called to believe and trust in the Lord. Amen. Well, one day a man decided to wash his sweatshirt. Seconds after he stepped into the laundry room, he shouted to his wife, "What setting do I use on the washing machine?" She said, "It depends. What does it say on your shirt?" He yelled back, "University of Oklahoma." I remember when I was little, my cousins from over by Morehouse or Circle City and Bird's Corner region over there next to Sykeston, Morehouse area, some of them were farmers, and they were also preachers, and my dad's a preacher, so we were all discussing whose dad was the best preacher, and of course, we all said our own dad was the best preacher. And so, anyway, there were three boys who were heading home from school when one said, "Well, my dad is way faster than any of yours. He can throw a 90-mile-per-hour fastball from the pitcher's mound and run and catch it after it crosses the plate." One of the other boys said, "Oh, yeah, well, my dad can shoot an arrow from his bow and run to the target and hold it up to make sure the arrow hits the bullseye." And the last boy said, "Your dads don't even come close to being faster than mine. My dad works for the government, and even though he works every day until 4 o'clock, he gets home at 3:30. Praise the Lord. I like humor. Merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. There's a lot of people out there in the world today that have broken spirits, and they're dry on the inside. They're like dry and parched and cracked ground that needs some water. And they need us to carry some buckets of water out to them and give them a drink of the Holy Spirit. This is the year of the shout. That's the shepherd's rod, the word of the Lord for this year. And I usually just do like 1 week, but you know, I can't ever just preach 1 week on something. So we're on week number 3. And this message is called Walls Come Tumbling Down. Look at Joshua 6 and verse 20. Says, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Now, Jericho, it means refreshing, a place of refreshing, or an aroma, a fragrance, a fragrant aroma. You ever walk in a place and it just smells better? You know when the floors are mopped out here with pine saw and you walk in? Man, it smells good out here. Did y'all smell the floors today? They were mopped yesterday. Did you smell it when you walked in? Just smelled clean, didn't it? These carpets were thoroughly vacuumed. You know, it just feels good when stuff is clean. It's got a good fragrance. Well, it was like an oasis. When we went to Israel, we went to Jericho, and it was a new Jericho area. It wasn't the old city. The Lord said nobody would ever rebuild that city. And there were archaeologists trying to dig there that died. You know, they could only dig a little bit. They got down so far and they died unexplainably. And then they went back to the Old Testament scriptures and they, well, we're not supposed to do this. God said no. And when the walls fell, they didn't just fall over, because you could race chariots on top of that wall. It was like they had houses even inside the wall that went around that city. You know, it's funny, I was looking and they said that the National Guard, I think there's 23,461 National Guard troops called up to Washington, D.C. already. And they've got 10 miles of fencing that the military has put up around that area, around the Capitol area. I think 10 miles worth of that whole region there, that area, and with barbed wire on it. I don't know if that's to let keep people out or to keep people in. Might just make it a big jail for the crooks and the corrupt. I'll get off my soapbox, okay? That was over there. I'm getting back here where it's holy. And I can speak the word. Amen. But anyway, Jericho, man, the fruit was so big. They had stuff that, Xavier, they called it ugly fruit. It looked like a grapefruit texture, but it was gnarly and ugly on the outside. It's big, you know, like that big around, almost like a volleyball. How'd you like to get a grapefruit the size of a volleyball, only as twisted and gnarly and ugly looking? Well, that's why they called it ugly fruit. You know, they had grapes as big as plums and just unbelievable. It was like an oasis in the desert. But I want you to know this. God, He limits man's longevity, man's boundaries. You know, He won't let men go past a certain place. And you know what? God's got all this business of politics within His control. Nobody becomes a king unless He allows it, and they come down because He says they come down. And so we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart. And so let's look at a couple of things. Genesis, real quickly. Genesis chapter 6. And verse 3 says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he indeed is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible. He lived 969 years. The oldest recorded man in the Bible. Man, I mean the conditions of the earth. There was no smog, no pollution. The food, you didn't have to go to Walmart and go to the organic section. It was all organic. It was the best food you can ever imagine. And the oxygen was the highest content. I mean, everything could grow. It was beautiful. And he lived 969 years. I can't even fathom that. I can't fathom living to be 100, hardly. But he said, you know, man will be limited to 120. Now, there have been a few go over, but, you know, I've seen people live to be 108. What is your special ingredient? What is your secret? And the guy said, well, I've been smoking for 80 years, you know, or I've been drinking, or... You know, and It doesn't matter what you try to do. Sometimes it just doesn't matter. My mom's got diabetes. She's had it since she was about 60 years old. She'll turn 90 this year. Well, I got tired a long time ago trying to tell her how to eat. And she'd play bingo, win a little Twinkie cake. I'd say, what'd you win at bingo today? Sometimes she'd get a little stuffed animal or a little figurine or something, which she'd like all her grandkids and great-grandkids to have some of those when it comes her time. You know, she'd give them away. But we may just donate them back to the home when that happens. But she may live to be 120. I don't know. She's a serious diabetic. I mean, they give her shots of insulin more than once a day, probably two or three times a day. I said, well, what'd you win? She said, I won this little cake. Had icing all over it. I said, are you going to eat that? She says, well, I won it. I said, I guess you did. And she always looks at me and grins, and she'll say, a little bit won't hurt. She loves that stuff. Her and Stephanie get along real good because she's got a sweet tooth or two or three. You like chocolate, don't you? But anyway, if God says you're going to stay alive, you might be on insulin, you're going to stay alive. If God says it's your time to go, it's your time to go. You know, now you might can feel a little bit better while you're alive if you take a little better care of yourself or you eat a little bit better or whatever. But nobody can determine the day you're going to die. Now, there are people that get shot in war or get robbed or something. Sometimes things happen that are out of the normal realm. But in general, we all live, and God knows when the day is that we're going to be finished our days here on earth. But he said, hey, I'm tired of these people. I'm going to limit them to 120 years. And a few verses later, he says, I don't know. I wish I'd never made man. Boy, Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and people started having visions right there during the service of hell, as he described to them. And they began to cry out and weep and fall on their knees and on their faces to the floor. And what a revival swept that whole region after he preached that message in Massachusetts. But on down in verse 8, you know, verse 7, he says, I think I'm just going to destroy man. I'm fed up with them. You think God could be a little fed up today with a few? Oh, people think they're in charge. They're not in charge of anything. They might feel like they're in charge. You know, the government thinks they're in charge. Well, they can't stop what God wants to do. I don't care who they are or what side of the fence they are on. I'm praying for about two or three new parties to rise up. Maybe we all just have the Christian party rise up. Patriots party, whatever. But he's fed up with them then. That's way back at the beginning of things. And here was Noah. And what's it say in verse 8? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God determined then, I won't destroy them all. He let Noah live. He told him to build an ark, and so he did. And then he got his family on that ark with two of each kind of animal. I always wondered what happened to the dinosaurs and all. I think they couldn't fit through the door, a lot of them. So they had to stay on earth. But he took the elephants and the hippopotamuses and the rhinos. But the dinosaurs, some of them, the T-Rexes and all, they were just a little too big to make it. And then we had the flood. It rained. How many days? 40 days. 24 hours. Hey, do you know that if it rains real hard and you try to come to my house after about 2 hours of hard rain, there'll be water coming across the road about so deep. My wife doesn't like that at all. She's fearful to cross the water over the road. And I think she's afraid it'd be high enough and her Jeep will float away or something. But, you know, water's powerful. Man, have you ever seen tidal waves, what they do? Or hurricanes, what they do? I mean, when they bring waves that are gigantic, 20, 25, 30-foot waves, the force of water is tremendous. Well, can you imagine the world, the whole earth flooded? Everything was destroyed except for what was on the ark. Then they want to say it was an ice age that made those fossils. You know what I believe? I don't believe these animals were a million years ago when God says He created the heavens and the earth and in 6 days and then He rested on the seventh and that was a little about 6,000 plus years ago. And there's no millions of years old, this or that. The only ones of millions of years old is God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the angels, and then the fallen angels also. You know, they were created long ago, but the ones who've been here forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know. We don't know the history of universes or what's beyond the universes or what God ever did before we were all created. We live in this arena. And I'm not going to pretend I know. You can get pretty confused reading some people's accounting. But I know this. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so He permitted mankind to start all over again. Amazing to me. But statement number two, when man's days are complete, God chooses a successor to be inaugurated. Inaugurate means to commission, to swear in, to be anointed. And I'm going to tell you what, some of these yahoos out there, they're not anointed to do squat, much less lead a government or whatever. You know, but there was an inauguration. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we'll read a few verses there, starting with verse 1. And then Moses went and spoke these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross over this Jordan. Now, we know it's unique. 40 days and the life of a fly is over. And they nicknamed Lucifer Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. Well, 40 years and Moses struck that Egyptian and killed him and he ran for the hills. And then the next 40 years, he was on the backside of the desert, married to an Ethiopian woman and had children and had sheep, and he became a sheep herder, and yet he had was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He about forgot his language, you know. When you don't speak Egyptian or Hebrew for 40 years, it's like speaking in tongues to you. He learned their language. And, you know, he had that experience in the burning bush, but he said, hey, so from 80, when he helped the children of Israel come out of Egypt, like Pastor Ken said, out of sin, he read that, he made a covenant with them. You know, the rainbows in the sky is a covenant for Noah, and then you had other covenants. You had the Adamic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, or the Noah covenant, and then you had the Abrahamic covenant, and you had the Mosaic covenant, and you had the Davidic covenant, on and so on until you get to the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament, the New Covenant. I'm glad for that covenant. That's why I can stand here today and preach a message with confidence because Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But he said, you know, man, he wasn't going to strive with man 120 years. I'm looking forward to 120 years. My little granddaughter, Avery, is 4. Well, I'm 62. I got another 58 years. Glory to God. Avery will be 62 when I get there. Isn't that amazing? She'll be my age when it's my time to go, if the Lord tarries, you know. I've got a good life to look forward to. I tell you what, I've got a few more countries to visit, a few more places to go preach, a few more healings to see happen, a few more miracles to occur. And I know God's going to restore and strengthen our bodies. Some of y'all are living like you're 62 or 72 or 82 or 92, whatever. But look forward to 120. Why not? But anyway, he says, I can't go out and come in anymore. That's enough. The Lord your God himself crosses over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall dispossess them. Joshua himself crosses over before you, just as the Lord has said. See, when God says something, he means it. That's why I said, watch what happens this week. Don't be surprised if some strange things occur. We became a nation in 1776, and then George Washington became our first president. What year was that? 1792? Something like that. He was the first president, and then John Adams was our second president, and then Thomas Jefferson was our third president, and I think John Quincy Adams was president either after that or was somebody else, and then him. Pastor Ken and I are kin folks to John Quincy Adams. He was the stepson of John Adams. We have American royalty in our veins. But we were also kin to, I think, Davy Crockett or Daniel Boone. Daniel Boone. But then also our great-great-grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian. So we got the cowboys and the Indians. We can go either way. But he said that when he sent them over in Joshua, he said, the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and their land when he destroyed them. Hey, I don't care how many votes was this way or that way in an election. When God says something, God's going to have it his way one way or the other. You know? People can't have it that way just because they decide to make it that way. Man, how many people are praying in this nation? I don't want to get on my soapbox. I'm trying to stay over here. But the Lord will give them over to you, that you may do to them according to every commandment which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He's not going to leave you on your own. He's going to be with us every step of the way. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, and Pastor Ken mentioned the other day that there was an estimated about 3 million plus that exited Egypt. That's a pretty big church right there. That's bigger than Dr. Cho's over in South Korea. Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I'm telling you today, don't fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Believe the prophets and you will prosper. Hallelujah. Verse 14 and 15 then says, Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. Boy, the presence of God. Verse 23. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. Statement 3, God promises the authority with the power to accomplish His commands or directives. When He gives you direction, He will give you the authority and the power to carry it out. Amen? See, when you're called to do something, He's not going to let you go out there and just fall flat on your face and fail unless you get out of His will or His timing. That's everything. When you know the will of God, and then you can know the timing of God, then nothing could stop you. It's powerful. Joshua chapter 1. Oh, wait, did I read? I thought I had Deuteronomy 34 in there, but that's all right. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. He was inaugurated. He had anointing. He had hands laid on him. Moses transferred his authority and power to Joshua. And then we see in the scripture, verses 1 through 8, After the death of Moses and the servant of the Lord, it came to the pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, You know what? You need to serve under somebody and get that same anointing. Elisha served Elijah. Joshua served Moses. There's always a transference of power. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. That's a lot of land. You know, the caliphate that the Islamic people claim, they claim it as theirs, is actually belongs to Israel. It's God's land. It's not some heathen, demonic, satanic God called Allah. Allah and Islam is not a peaceful religion. You read the Quran. I remember one pastor I served under, he even had a satanic Bible he showed me. I didn't even want to touch it. He had it, you know, Brother Snavely out of First Assembly. He showed me what some of the stuff said. And I'll never forget, he showed me in the very beginning, you know what the Satanic Bible calls Lucifer? If you know, just raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to tell you. I got about two people raising their hand. The presence. When we talk about the presence of God, see, Lucifer is a counterfeiter. He is a mocker. And he mocks God by saying that he is the presence. Well, he was also the worship leader in heaven. That's why worship can determine how the presence of God evidences itself. We had good worship today. We entered in. I joined in a little bit more than normal. But then we got down here and the prophetic flow was going and the presence of God Almighty, Jesus Christ the Lord. But Satan would like to call himself the presence. That's his nickname that he chose for himself. Because he was melodic and had these pipes and all. His being was like a symphony, like an orchestra. The music would pour out. Timmy heard angels last week during worship. And then Tyler was telling me, he said, PK, I think when I was standing up here, I heard the same thing. They heard angels singing beyond the normal. Did anybody else hear some angels singing? Or could you hear a little music, just a little something in that direction? Anybody? Well, those two men heard it, you know. And the angels are here. I mean, I believe everybody in this building's got a guardian angel, and I believe there are worship angels and there are prophetic angels that carry the word of God. There are warring angels. There are all kinds of different functions of angels. And guess what? They're all over this property. They're all over this building, in this building, sitting next to you. If you bump into something, you what was that? It might be an angel sitting with you. But watch out. Most of them are pretty big, so they take a little more space than normal. They might have to take two seats instead of one. What verse was I on anyway? He said, no man, verse 5, shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. There it is again. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. In other words, don't get distracted. Get rid of your spiritual ADHD and focus in on Jesus the Christ as Lord and Savior, Provider, awesome Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God wants you to have everything that your heart desires as long as it does not violate the kingdom of God and violate the commandments of God. He doesn't want you to go eat luscious meals, but you don't give to the food bank. He doesn't want you to drive a fancy car, but you never help give a ride to anybody. Or maybe you could help somebody have a vehicle. See, you got to have a heart for God. He doesn't mind you having good things. I tell you what, I've decided I like my pickup truck I got, but I would rather have a 3/4-ton diesel so I can pull anything. And I don't think that's a sin. I know Nick would like to have one of those, wouldn't you? That sounds good to me. But let me tell you this. Let's turn over to chapter 6. The Lord, statement 4, the Lord gives the word, instructions to be able to succeed and to expand. Now let's read 6 more verses, and I'm going to grab my shofar, and we're going to talk here at the end. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. See, they had already crossed the Jordan River. Joshua learned from Moses to send out the Ark of the Covenant and the priest and the praisers, and he raised, up just like Moses did, and they crossed over on dry ground. The Jordan was split in two. They crossed over. And then we see the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I've given Jericho in your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days." So you're going to go around the city one time. And then he said, "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark, but the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, then the wall of the city will fall down flat." Now, you got to understand, the wall was wide enough you could race chariots on top of it. When it fell down, it didn't fall over. It was like driven by a holy hammer all the way down into the ground. Now, there are some things that were left out. I mean, I imagine it was all busted up real good. But he said, "Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant. Let the 7 priests bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord.'" Now, later on, a couple of those verses, I know in verse 9, the armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now, let me read one more part here. Verse 10, "Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, 'You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout.'" And of course we know, after on the 7th day, they went around the city 7 times. You're talking about a few million people. Can you imagine those people in Jericho looking out and seeing about 3 or 4 million people walking around the city, not saying anything, but they saw the Ark of the Lord. You know they've heard about the Ark of the Lord. And then these guys, the priests, 7 of them, blowing their trumpets constantly, continually, as they marched around the city. They did that 6 days in a row. Nobody said anything. Nobody shouted. That's eerie. You look out and you see 2 or 3, 4 million people walking around, and their priests are blowing the trumpets, 7 of them, and they get farther along than this batch in this part of the city hears the trumpets again, and they see these people. They don't know when they're going to attack. They don't know nothing. That's why they got this huge wall in place. Now, the thing is, God did save some out of Jericho, Rahab and her family. She was a harlot. But she allowed those spies that went in to spy out the city. She kept them safe, didn't tell on them. She let them go. And so they told her, put a little crimson thread, I think, so we know. So when the walls went down, they found the red string. It was like the sign of the blood when you're covered by the blood. Covered by the Lord. They saved her family. Well, all those walls busted up like an atomic bomb went off on that place. Everywhere. And here these people were. And they went in, they took the spoils. But on that 7th day, they went in 7 times. And then get your shofar, Pastor Ken. Let's blow it together. How about it? Come up here by me. So they went around at the end of the seventh time. They got around the city. And then when we blow this, I want, in fact, stand up if you can. I want you to shout when we blow this time. And you know what? I'm going to invite the devil to never cross our threshold ever again. And if the devil's with somebody that comes in here, he has to be checked at the door. That person can come in here of their own free will and have a little peace in their life. And so this is a no devil zone. This is the shout zone. And when Zach comes in, and I'm giving him permission, you tell the people, come on, lift up your hands, clap your hands, shout unto the Lord. And we need to respond. All right? Seventh time, here they come. All right? They got to the finish line. And then they went. Is my face red? But you know what? The walls came down. And so I prophesy this over you today. The walls of depression come down. The walls of curses over your families come down today. The walls of addiction in your lives, or maybe you're dry now, maybe you're not taking, but you still have the same feelings. We ask God, and by shouting, those addictions are destroyed and broken off of your families. Yes. Yes. You might have kids or grandkids. Sister Barbara, I'm agreeing with you for that granddaughter, that God has set her free. Yeah, no more torment for those that are addicted and afflicted. They could come in this place graveyard dead, even on cots, and God is going to raise them up. God, I challenge people to bring in those in the wheelchairs. Bring in those on cots, on Walmart couches, whatever. Those plastic things you lie by the swimming pool. Bring them in and set them down up front here. Bring them in that are blind and deaf. Bring them in that are lame. Bring them in that have blood disorders and every other kind of problem, and kidney and liver and heart disease. And we're going to see the shout blow it right out of them. Yes. Shout one more time. Hallelujah. Victory. That's right. Lift your hands towards heaven. Father, these are the blessed and not the cursed. They are the head and not the tail. They are your children. They are the redeemed of the Lord, and they can say so. They can walk about with confidence and authority, knowing that you are with them to deliver them. And they are the ones who, when they speak the word of God, others will hear it and taste and see that the word of God is good. And so we bless them today. Health, wealth, and be free of disease and sickness in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. All right. You can be dismissed if you want to. But greet one another, be friendly. In Jesus' name. Glory. I'm gonna let it roll. Be just like a child.